Welcome back, all of you. It's wonderful to have you back in the Lord's house as we together now celebrate the week of our Lord's resurrection and all the wonderful blessings that that brings to us in our lives. Please join with me in the words from Psalm 118, one of the great resurrection psalms, and let us rise. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hear now the familiar words from Job 19. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Three months ago, a man entered a hospital in Boston and had a gun underneath his garment. And he waited outside of the surgery room and shot to death one of the best cardio surgeons in the United States, a man by the name of Dr. Michael Davidson, a Harvard professor, 44 years old, father of three, married. What vicious and yet sad irony to think here is this man who has dedicated his life to holding off death for people and has dedicated his intelligence and is surrounded by the best possible equipment that the world has possibly ever known, that even he is still vulnerable to death at such a young age in that situation. The hospital has since then had to establish new security measures. Cardiosurgeons like Mr. Davidson are some of the highest paid people in the medical profession because they deal with some of the most primary organs in the human body. We tend to value those who can hold off death the best for us, and yet not even they are immune to this vicious enemy. Death doesn't care how old you are. Death doesn't care what education you have. Death doesn't care who you're married to or how many children you have or whether it's your wedding night. It just doesn't care. It hunts us down all the time, all places, everywhere, even in places we would never, ever expect. Job, in our text before us, describes rather graphically in one little phrase the vicious nature of this enemy when he says, "After my skin is destroyed." That's a horrific thought. How death just ravages us. How the closer we get to the grave in life, up and up in years, the more our skin shows the sign of aging. And then finally, when death grabs us, our skin is even destroyed. What a horrible picture. If they've ever been around a carcass of a dead animal, I remember as a child wandering through the ravines playing as a child and coming across just a dead squirrel or something, and just the stench from that was horrific. Death has a way to produce a horror in us, even when we see it in another creature. Martin Luther once said, "Even a pig squeals at the slaughter." Death and sin are Siamese twins. They have been tied and united together ever since the fall into sin. Listen to what Paul says. "By one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. Therefore death came to all men, because all have sinned." And boy, can you see this right away after the fall. We see the murder of Abel, and in the next chapter, eight different times we hear a Hebrew expression, "Vahamot, Vahamot." And he died, and he died, and he died. Immediately, the consequences of the fall into sin not only brought sin into people's hearts, but along with it, the cancer, this vicious cancer of death as well. And you can see how death and sin are joined together as far as how we have to deal with it, oftentimes too. A year ago next week, there was a Korean ferry. If you remember the story in South Korea, a ferry that sunk. And it was full of children and teenagers. 304 people went to a watery grave that day. And one high school boy texted this line to his parents as he was dying: "If I did anything wrong to any of you, please forgive me." There's a sense about our guilt and our sin when we face death, even at such a young age as that. Now, here in the text before us sits Job, whose life has been ripped apart by death. He has watched it ravage his own family. He has seen it take away his herds. He has seen it destroy his own life, and now seems to be about ready to take his own body. And he now gives us these beautiful, precious words that are more valuable than any gold or any treasure you could ever have in this world. Let's just look at some of the phrases. He projects ahead to Easter. He says, "I know that my Redeemer lives." That's a beautiful statement. It means that the very one who is going to buy him back from sin and death, the very one who's going to make him right with a holy God once again, just as he's done for every one of us here today, he's alive. The Redeemer, that's a very important name. That means the one who put his life on the line for you, who shed his holy, perfect blood to atone for every sin that you or I have ever committed in our whole life. So I can stand here today on behalf of heaven itself and declare every one of you righteous and holy, sanctified because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, I know that my Redeemer lives. The fact that Christ came back to life on Easter Sunday is living proof that God has accepted the payment for every sin you've ever committed. Job goes on, and he shall stand at last upon the earth. That's another great phrase. This very Redeemer who's bought us back to God now will have the final say over death, your grave. And he says he is the one who holds the keys to your grave that can get you out of it. Job goes on, after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. When the resurrection of all flesh takes place, it will not be a different you that comes out of the ground. It will not be some other being. It will be you glorified with a glorified body, taken now, reunited with your soul, and brought into the mansions of heaven above. And then Job closes this section by saying, how my heart yearns within me. The Hebrew here means I can feel the sensation about how fantastic this is in the deepest part of my body. How my heart yearns within me. How you and I can now look forward to our whole life and even stare right at the worst enemy in front of us, our death, and have absolute, complete confidence because our Redeemer lives. In the catacombs of Rome in the first century, there was a tomb where someone inscribed on a Christian's deathbed this word, the great Greek word, Anastasios, resurrection. May that inscription not just be on your future grave someday, but may it be on your very heart and your very soul right now through faith in Christ. Anastasios, resurrection. Amen. Please rise. In one of our baseball games last Thursday, an MLC player was very severely injured and suffered a severe head injury, almost life-threatening. He's undergone brain surgery, is now recovering, and let us have a prayer for him. His name is Luke Rothy. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for bringing this young man through surgery and for now restoring him again to full health. We ask that you would grant him a full recovery, if it is your will. Above all, we thank you for the gift of faith that you have given him in his heart. We pray that this wonderful faith in Christ would strengthen both him and the members of his family as we all look forward to the day of our own resurrection. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Please join me in the prayer for Easter that you will find on page 155, prayer number 62. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you delivered your Son for our offenses and raised him again for our justification. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may rule and govern us according to your will. Graciously keep us in the true faith, defend us from all sins, and after this life, raise us to eternal life through the same your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.